Hello. This speaker has been recorded at a meeting of Addictive Eaters Anonymous. For more information, visit our website www.aeainfo.org.
I'm Jill and I'm an addictive eater. And I was just thinking today, I absolutely know it's a privilege to speak. It's a privilege to be a member of this fellowship. It's a privilege to be alive. It's a privilege to be asked. And, you know, hopefully when we share our stories, it'll help someone else. But it hasn't stopped me being really nervous all week. And I actually woke up in the middle of the night last night and I was doing my talk at the meeting. And having spent the whole week just being anxious, I was so disappointed when I woke up and realised I'd have to do it all over again. It wasn't the real thing. And I thought that is the self-centeredness of this disease. You know, and I know that that will get better one day. But it is an absolute pleasure to be here. And, you know, you always hope that your story might help someone else. So I was thinking this week about our meeting last Monday. And people were talking about gratitude, and somebody was sharing about how they didn't think they were ever grateful when they were eating before they came into the program. And I was trying to think about whether I ever was grateful, because I was a pretty sour person. And I thought, you know, and I find this, there's a lot of things about me that I think are really weird. And this was one. I thought the one thing I was always grateful for was that when I get out of this hellhole of my life right now, life is going to be better next time. So, you know, when I was at school, life was going to be wonderful. When I left home, when I left my parents, when I left this terrible town I was living in, and I left home and things didn't get any better. And I knew that it was going to be wonderful when I went overseas. So, you know, I toddled off, as you do, to the other side of the world. And life never got better. And I think, you know, what a sad way to live, thinking about how life's always going to be better somewhere else. And I don't live like that today, and I feel very grateful. And, you know, I was just thinking about the whole thing of altered attitudes and how my attitudes have changed. And, you know, I've often shared that when I first came to this program, there was, you know, and I saw the steps and I knew I needed to be here, but there wasn't anything in this program that I thought was a good idea. You know, I was a long-term atheist. I certainly didn't want a God in my life. I was horrified when I saw the word God, absolutely horrified by it. You know, I certainly didn't want to hand my life over to God or anyone else. I didn't want to take my inventory because the world had dealt me a bad deal all my life, and it was always all everybody else's fault. You know, I certainly didn't want to make amends to people, and probably above all, I didn't want to help anyone else ever. I thought that was what weak people who didn't have a life did. They ran around helping other people. And, you know, that's another thing. I look back on those attitudes and I just think that is a really sad way to live. And, you know, I lived like that for years and years and years. And I'm always grateful for one thing above everything else, is that I didn't have a better idea. I knew the answer was here. And certainly when I first came to the program, it was an AA, and I was in a state of desperation. But when I came to AA, I wanted what you had, but I wasn't desperate. And I knew I wasn't desperate. My sponsor often used to talk about how this program's for people who are desperate. And I knew I wasn't, but I didn't have a better idea. Somehow I knew that the answer was here. And I feel so grateful today that I kept coming. And it took me a lot of years in this program to surrender with relation to the food. I don't know if I've surrendered everything else. You know, I'd like to think I have completely surrendered my will, but I think that is not the case. But I always, after I came into this program, I always had this little idea in the back of my mind that my case was different and that I could do things that other people couldn't do. And it took me a lot of years of eating in this program and lying about it until I did get to that point where I didn't have any answers anymore. I was just completely emotionally bankrupt, I suppose. I don't think I saw it like that at the time, but I certainly knew that I just had no answers. I just couldn't do it anymore. I spent years lying, hiding, getting afraid of being sprung, always looking around the supermarket in case somebody saw me buying something that wouldn't be on the food plan. But above all, I always reserved that right to make my own decisions at the end of the day. And for a lot of that time, I think I was probably eating on a food plan for a lot of that time, but to me, I was never off the food, even if I was eating on the food plan for years. I was never off the food because I always reserved that right to do what I wanted to do. And that's what I was like my entire life. As a kid, I thought the family rules didn't apply to me. Certainly the drinking laws didn't apply to me. Nothing applied to me. You know, I was always different. I could do what I wanted. And it was actually, I was going to say a relief, I don't know if it was a relief, but certainly it felt like the end of a battle to get to that point of thinking, I can't do this anymore. After years of fighting the food, just to give up, I just couldn't do it anymore. And that was when the desire to eat was taken away. I never thought that would happen. I didn't know what was going to happen when I'd finally told somebody about what I was doing with the food. And probably up till that point, I was always bargaining. I was forever bargaining with God. In my head, I was a real wheeler dealer. And all I was wheeling and dealing about was, if I do this, will you give me that? And it's probably the first time in my life that there was none of that. I just didn't know what to do. And I wasn't scheming about what I was going to do next. And that desire to eat was taken away, and it's never come back since. And if I ever had doubts about a God or about a higher power, the fact that I could go from years and years and years of having that obsession to eat, of having that reservation that my case was different, that I could do from what I wanted, to that sort of thinking just being taken away. If I had any doubts about whether there was a higher power, the fact that I could go from one attitude to the other one, more or less probably in a split second, I was going to say overnight, but it just disappeared. And that was an absolute miracle to me, and that continues to be an absolute miracle to me. And so many of my attitudes have had to change. There was a lot wrong with me more than the food. And I always knew there was a lot wrong with me more than the food. I didn't know that there was a connection between the food and everything else that was wrong with me. But I knew that there was something very wrong with me. And all the stuff that was wrong with me has, I was going to say it has all been fixed. It hasn't all been fixed. But all the stuff that was wrong with me, that miserable person that I was, who was just full of resentment and jealousy, occasionally shame and guilt, but more blame for other people. All that negative way that I lived has changed. And I was just thinking about how it says in the promises, we'll intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. That wasn't the one I was thinking of, it was one of the others, but we will intuitively know, yeah, that That and other ones, other promises too, they just happen with time. When I first came into the program, I remember I used to think about how I'm going to work on a particular defect today. And I can remember older members laughing and saying, well, go for it, but you'll probably find that God's got his own ideas on that score. And that was very much how it was. I discovered that I was so earnest. I don't think there was anything wrong with that sort of earnestness in deciding what I was going to do today to work on my defects. There was nothing wrong with it. I think my attitudes were fine, but it's not how my life turned out. I sort of found that with time, I have discovered what lots of people have been saying to me for years, that all I actually have to do is do the next thing in front of me today. And however it works out is God's will. And that was too easy for me for a long time, I think. I probably wanted to suffer. I wanted to show how earnestly I was working. And those sort of things have just become so much more relaxed. Everything about life has become so much more relaxed. I love just getting up in the morning and getting on with whatever the day has. You know, my life is full of all sorts of activities, some of them useful for others, some of them just routine activities. But I'm not, the big book says we've ceased fighting anyone or anything. And I was always fighting everything. Right from when I was a little kid, I was fighting the food, I was fighting the family, I was fighting the kids at school. And when I came in here, you know, I think I was still sort of gripped by that need to fight everything. And just gradually with time, so many of my, well, all my attitudes have changed. All my attitudes have changed just through being here, through trying to work this program, through listening to you people. Every meeting I come to, something I know seeps into my head, and that will come up later. You know, we often share about the thing of taking the trolley back to the supermarket or just saying hello to somebody. The simple courtesies of life, of just getting on with the other people. And I had no idea how to do that. And I've learnt so much just through sitting in meetings and hearing other people share on a daily basis how their lives have changed, how they live their lives today. I thought life was about big, deep philosophical questions. It's about just being a decent human being on a day-to-day basis. And I love being able to do that most of the time. Occasionally I have a blip, but you know, it's just being an ordinary human being. I always used to feel as though I stuck out. I always felt different. I always felt as though I didn't belong. And I don't know if I particularly feel as though I belong anywhere terribly much now, but I certainly don't feel as though I don't belong. I don't feel as though I'm not part of. And none of these things are what I came here for. You know, I came here initially because I wanted to be thin, and I came here later on because I couldn't stand the obsession. And I had no idea of the peace of mind that was available in life. I'd never had peace of mind. And I remember the first meeting I came to of this group, and the biggest thing I remember from that meeting was how people seemed peaceful. They just seemed calm, and I was just this agitated mess the whole time. And so my life has changed in many, many ways. I learnt that it's got very little to do with the food and a lot to do with just learning to be a decent human being through trying to work these steps and through God doing for me what I could not do for myself. So I'm very, it's about time, I think. So I'm really, really grateful to be here and to be part of this fellowship and to have the opportunity to listen to everyone else's wisdom.